Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Liberty Bigley podcast. I'm your host, Patrick McFarland. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the show is going, how everything is going, and my experience using alt tech platforms in the last couple weeks. And I've been really rejuvenated and very excited about the Liberty Weekly podcast in the last couple weeks. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, kind of ironically, when she died is when I got back into podcasting. And it was that event, the COVID, everything with COVID and everything with the election cycle and this unprecedented time that we're living through, I really thought, shit, I can't just sit on the sidelines and watch everything happen. And I've been incredibly, I'm the type of person who I will become obsessed with things. And I have like all these different hobbies, and I will be taken away by one hobby, and that I'll be really intense with it for like 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months. And then I'll find something else and I'll go, oh, that's really cool. And I think I'm going to get into that. So, I mean, but there have been some things that have been a unified thing, a consistent thing throughout a long time through my life. One has been playing guitar, although I haven't really since I started law school. But another thing has been the Liberty Weekly podcast and libertarianism and that project. And like everything in life, you go through spurts. And I, at one point, I had my son and we got really wrapped up in, or I got really wrapped up in being a father. And, you know, that comes first, of course, over all this stuff. And so I needed to take some time away. That really brought my attention away from politics and libertarianism. And I needed to take that time for my family, which is how it should be. But, things are kind of settling out with that. And you learn how to be a parent and how to balance things and be a good dad, but also it gets easier to be a parent, I think, a little easier. At least with the first one, the experience changes. I'm sure the parents and the audience that you guys know about this. But so anyways, I restarted the podcast when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, which is a totally incredible, morbid, awesome time to come back to podcasting. And since then, I've put out, I think, 12 episodes. I think so. It's been a lot of episodes, and I'm really glad to be back. But at this point in time, I am more resolved in the point of like with before this time, I was very nervous to be interviewing people who have big names. And if I could pump out my chest a little bit and maybe strut around, I think this is my personal opinion, but I think I am more personal. I put more personal things about how I'm feeling and how it feels to be a Liberty podcaster. And I'm a lot more open with my audience than I think any other content provider that I know. And I put a lot of it out there on this podcast, the Liberty Bigley podcast, which really maybe properly should be reserved for a Patreon or Subscribestar audience, which, hey, by the way, Liberty Weekly Elite, listening to the Liberty Bigley podcast, I started a Subscribestar account. Go to subscribestar.com/Liberty Weekly. Shitload of bonus content there. I'm talking hundreds of posts while I've been uploading it. But it's the same as Patreon. There's hundreds and hundreds of posts that are up there. And I'm trying to raise money to buy one of those Shure mics. I really like my ATR USB 2100. But I really would like to actually give shout outs to my Patreon supporters who have supported me for a lot of them for a long time. And I will do this tomorrow on the next Liberty Weekly episode. But my Patreon supporters, if I could bring them up here, a lot of them have supported me for a really long time. That would be Chanlin and Thice, who appeared in an episode of the Liberty Weekly podcast. The number is not coming to my mind right now, but Thice has been Theis and Chanlin have both been really, really great patrons and longtime patrons. I really appreciate them. Also, David has been a great patron. He's been my patron since April of 2019. I really appreciate you, David. Alaskan Buddha has been my patron since October of last year. And Troy has been my patron since December of last year. So I am so incredibly appreciative of my patrons. And I hope that I've been able to, especially now that I've started releasing content regularly, I really hope that I have been able to put out content that you enjoy. But that being said, I really do think that I am one of the only content providers that is incredibly like naked in a way, because I have this podcast where I basically word vomit and think out loud about everything that I'm doing and reflect on what it's like. And I think everyone should have their own podcast. And if you're a libertarian, you especially have something to say. What if we had libertarians who, you know, let's say you have a podcast, right? And this isn't a plug for Anchor, but anchor.fm, you heard the plug in the beginning. But what if you had a podcast, and just by the nature of your podcast being on iTunes, there were two, let's say there's 10 non-libertarians that listen to you. And let's say you have a podcast for a year and there's 100 non-libertarians that end up listening to you in that year. Let's say just 3 or 4% of them become libertarians. Okay. That's 3 or 4 people that were not libertarians, but found your content and you were able to nudge in that direction. Okay. What if that was the average? What if that was the low end of average? Okay. 2 or 3% conversion rate. Pretty high, I think. What if that was the average? What if every libertarian had their own podcast? What if every libertarian was a content producer? Can you imagine, even though we're the remnant, we're the small, small minority, we are the remnant, as Ron Paul would say, and we had a conversion rate of 1 or 2% of people that found our content. That's pretty damn good. And so I urge everyone to have their own content. I don't know how I got there from here, but so I think everyone should have their own podcast. We all have something important to say. I guess my point is that I feel like I'm one of the only content providers out there that will publicly be open about, you know, what it's like having a podcast, what it's like to want to interview these people, want to interview big names, but being nervous to, or letting yourself restrict your own ability to reach out to people and interview them, or putting yourself out there and having these opinions. And especially when I became a lawyer and passed the bar, there were a lot of very hardcore, very purity seeking anarchists out there that said, well, you know, fuck what you have to say. You're basically agreeing with the system, and you're a part of the system because you have to become a member of the bar, of the state bar association, or a member of the federal bar, and you have to swear to be an agent of the court. And of course, there are certain duties that go along with that. Anyways, that was, I thought about that, and I thought about it on the podcast and in my episodes. And I hope that that kind of, I hope that's endearing to the audience in a certain way, because basically from this end of things, it's just a relationship between me and the camera, where I'm sitting in my my studio or my computer room, and I'm talking to myself into a microphone, looking at a camera, I guess abstractly knowing that things are going out there, but never ever having any real world ramifications of certain things going on the internet and talking to people, except sometimes people reach out and say, oh, hey, you know, whatever. But a lot of this is just things that you aren't aware of, or you don't know, because all you do is upload a media file and then poof. So I hope that people appreciate it and don't get annoyed or anything by this. And that's why I created the Liberty Bigley podcast for people that who would like to get a more intimate connection with the show. And that's why I say Liberty Weekly Elite. So anyways, sorry for that aside and that kind of verbal thinking, but just ask my family. That's what I do best is the verbal thinking. So I have really been enjoying working on these alternative platforms, and I've had a lot better interaction on these platforms than I do with YouTube. You know, coincidentally, when I started posting primarily and when I made videos about how I was switching to BitChute, excuse me, and how I was switching to BitChute and how I was switching to Library or Liberty, some people have said, I've been losing subscribers on YouTube since that happened. And I wonder why. I also have been working on a documentary about being anti-COVID lockdown and comparing that to World War One and propaganda during World War One. And, you know, hey, maybe I shouldn't have uploaded like certain edits. I've been uploading my progress and sharing it with patrons, by the way, and Subscribestar subscribers. But I've gotten copyright, not a strike, but a copyright notice on some footage that I used from the NFL when NFL stars were fucking, when they were doing that stay safe, stay at home bit with their propaganda campaign. And I appealed it based on fair use. And I've had stuff like this happen before, especially with my, it happened on my piece with Killing in Combat, Blood Makes the Green Grass Grow, libertyweekly.net/LL4. Let me check that link. I had that happen before and I appealed it and I won the appeal. Yeah, it's LL4. I won the appeal basically using some kind of a lawyerly argument, and they said, okay, you're right, it's fair use. Well, I used the same thing in the same circumstance, and NFL said, fuck you, this is not fair use, we're retaining our copyright strike. Well, sorry, it wasn't a strike, it's like, we're going to monetize your video because our content is in it, and we're going to take all the monetization from it. So I thought that was total BS because it's obviously is fair use. I mean, I'm a lawyer, not that that makes me right, but it's a transformative work. It's a documentary and I'm providing commentary on it and I'm using it to prove a point. I think that the NFL is basically like, okay, well, you have a COVID-19 propaganda, or excuse me, you have a COVID-19 anti-vaxxer, anti-lockdown documentary that you're working on, you might have it. It might be fair use, but fuck you. What are you going to do about it if we don't accept your appeal? Are you going to sue us so that you can use our clip in your documentary that you're not going to monetize? It's not going to be worth your time. This is like how it is in small claims court or how it is with certain legal disputes that people have. It's like, okay, well, my small claims case is worth $4,000 and I totally have a great case. I could represent myself pro se, which is how small claims court is designed. And I could go sacrifice, hell, let's say 3 or 4 afternoons and 3, 5 or 6 hours preparing my case for small claims court. Take off work, go to small claims court, argue my case, get my evidence together, go in an awkward situation in front of the judge and an adversarial situation with the person who screwed me over. And I could go through all that to get my $3,000. But is all of that heartache, all of that inconvenience, and all of that uncomfortable situation, that uncomfortable confrontational situation, is all that worth it? The $3,000? Or hey, I could argue an attorney, which when I did small claims work, I charged at least $1,500 retainer before taking on a small claims case. Oftentimes that might actually go over and above that amount. So That's a long-winded way of explaining, like, okay, well, I don't have the time or resources to combat the NFL on this copyright strike, even though it's clearly fair use, and I think I could definitely win a case against them. So, anyways, I forgot where I was going with this, but basically, I really enjoyed time on alternative platforms. I have way more engagement on BitChute and Library than I have on any other platform, on YouTube. And when I go to YouTube, my last episode had 54 views, which is all right. You know, another one, the one before that has 56. But my subscribership is 800. And when I go to BitChute, my subscribership is 565, yes, okay. And when I put out a new video on BitChute, I get two or three new subscribers, right? So I have about, I don't know, a quarter less subscribers on BitChute, but for the same video, I have 28 views. And for my last episode, I have 71 views, which is more than 58. And for the episode before that, I have 32. So my point being is that in proportionality to what my subscribership is, I have more subscribers watching videos on BitChute for a smaller subscriber number. So there's a bigger percentage of the subscribers that are watching my videos on BitChute. Let's go to Library. On Library, I only have 40 subscribers so far. And I would urge you to join me. I would prefer Library than BitChute, honestly, because Library, I get rewarded with cryptocurrency for you subscribing and watching things. And join through my link, which would be libertyweekly.net/LBRY. That's actually something I don't have set up yet, so let me set that up. But if you join through my link, then we both get 15 Library credits, which are worth maybe 3 or 4 cents. But anyways, in the future, Library Coin has basically kind of been going down and down and has like flatlined around its current value. But I think there's a lot of content providers that are joining Library right now, and I'm hopeful that the value of the coin will go up substantially. And if it does, then we're both going to be in a great position because I have a few thousand. So if it went up to something like $5 or $10, that would be a very happy day for me. So let's go. I'm going to create the link right now. But so far, even though I have 40 subscribers on Library, in terms of analytics, most videos have between 0 and 6 views. So we need more people that, and like in my own my own experience on YouTube, like I've been trying to view my favorite content providers on Library. Like I watch a lot of Tim Pool, so I'll try to watch him on Library. And when James Corbett comes out with a new episode, I try to watch him on Library. And I'm doing that because, okay, well, what good are our alternative platforms if you don't actually use them? And Library has, like, their app is good. Their user interface is good. You can't cast anything, which I'm sure will be coming. But that's what makes BitSlide better, is that you can cast things. But when you cast things on BitSlide, which is the mobile app for BitChute, it actually comes out in, like, standard definition, or it looks all pixelated and it's not HD. Like, so when you're watching a Tim Pool video and he has an article on the screen, it's pretty hard to read the text that's on the screen. So I'm going to get that referral link and put that into libertyweekly.net/. Here it is. Okay. /LBRY. That link in there. Okay, that's live. So if you go to libertyweekly.net/LBRY, can join library, subscribe to my channel, and you will get 15 library credits that you can use to, you can hodl, or you can use to tip my content or someone else. I want to announce to everyone in the Liberty Weekly Elite, basically go to library.tv. I'll put this link too in the Liberty Weekly. So sorry, go to libertyweekly.net/conspiracy fact. And you will go to my alternative library channel. Conspiracy fact. Where I have created a channel that I think you will all enjoy. It's a channel where I'm posting primary source videos, audio files, and documents to conspiracy-related material. And it's open source documents. I'll read the about page. The page is called None Dare Call It Conspiracy After a Conspiracy Theory Book. I ripped it off. Anyways, the purpose of this channel is to preserve source and spread primary open source intelligence to assure that it does not disappear. And that's the whole point. So I think that if you, and it's kind of curated, and I think that if you followed it, you'd find the open source documents. And every time I post something, if you consume it, you'll know so much more about the world around you. So the first thing I posted was an interview with Edward Bernays about his book Crystallizing Public Opinion that took place in the 80s, this interview. Then I posted an article from CBS News about how Donald Rumsfeld began the plans to invade Iraq and how he began planning that. The connection between the September 11th attacks and Saddam Hussein. How he began trying to find those links and emailed his team the day of September 11th, that afternoon, to try and make that connection so they could invade Iraq. The next one I uploaded was a CIA Red Cross report about how the CIA was treating certain Islamist high-value detainees in Guantanamo Bay. So I posted that report, and that was the report basically that linked Saddam Hussein, that was the report where the individual who was waterboarded and tortured by the CIA, I'm forgetting his name, it's not coming to me, but in this report, he was telling the Red Cross that he was waterboarded into saying that there was some kind of a sinister nexus between the 9/11 hijackers and Saddam Hussein, basically. So another document that I have on there is the Operation Warp Speed distribution plans from the factory to the front lines. So I put that on there. Then I put the ID 2020 electronic ID plans from the ID 2020 page, trying to determine how they're going to vaccinate everyone. Trying to determine how they are going to distribute a new kind of digital ID, so that people can prove their vaccination status. And in here, it proves how Gavi, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Vaccine Alliance, and Microsoft and the Rockefeller Foundation are going to, how they're all going to issue vaccine certificates for people. And there's an ID 2020 a presentation made about how they're going to roll out the vaccine. And there's a study about the filtration efficiency of surgical masks that was actually written for a dissertation, a graduate thesis in 2010, basically showing that surgical masks are useless for preventing the transmission of viruses and bacterial infections. Then I have a video of Dr. Fauci on 60 Minutes from last March saying that you don't need a mask. And of course, they try and explain that away, saying, well, okay, well, we lied. They did say they lied, but they're saying, okay, well, we lied because we wanted healthcare workers to be able to get access to masks. Okay, well, whatever. Potato, potato. We still lied. So I don't know how you can trust them after that. And the latest video I uploaded was cover up behind the Iran-Contra affair. And this is like a 1980s documentary that was available on VHS tape. And I didn't find it on library. It's all over YouTube. There's like four or five different copies of it. But I edited it so that it was in a VHS resolution. But I did some editing to it and I made it in a HD 1080p by 720. No, that's not the right dimensions. But anyways, I edited it so that it would be in a widescreen format. So I think it looks better that way. Maybe not. You be the judge. There it is. That's the audio from it. It's a really cool documentary.
These guys. They have escaped essentially the control of national governments, but they're available for use by national governments. Sometimes they move under color of, and defend themselves as advancing U.S. national interests in this. But I think that's very secondary with these guys. They're out to make a buck.
I did do it. I am not, as I said in my statement, at all ashamed of any of the things that I did. I was given a mission, and I tried to carry it out.
Anyways, that's General Oliver North during... Oh, here.
Contra hearings, convened in May 1987 by a special joint committee of the United States Congress to investigate the sale of U.S. weapons to Iran and the illegal diversion of money to the Contras. For 13 weeks, the hearings were broadcast on national television. Over 30 people testified, and the committee issued a 700-page report of its findings. But there are still many important questions that the Select Committee left unanswered and unexplored. Often, the official explanation seemed inadequate and contradictory.
Yeah, so... you can see on the screen if you're watching this. By the way, I've been live streaming this all on float.app, and I've found, well, I'll get into that in a second, but just to close up on the Iran-Contra, if you're looking at the screen, I just added this widescreen format where the black bars on the side are actually filled up by a blurred out reproduction of the image. So that's a trick I learned that I've employed on my documentary that I'm working on. I just thought it looked better. So spruce it up a little bit, make it a better watching experience. So other platforms I've been on. So sorry, subscribe, join library, libertyweekly.net/library, LBRY. And also subscribe to my conspiracy channel called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. You can find that at libertyweekly.net/conspiracy fact. One word, of course. So float.app, which I'm live streaming to right now. I'm going to have to switch over to a new track on anchor.fm right now because I've hit the 30-minute mark. But float.app I've really enjoyed, and the actual creators of the social media platform are members and they interact with everyone. And I reached out to one of the main programmers here. I'm going to switch over on Anchor. And it was a really great experience, and they were very responsive. It looks like a labor of love, and they're actually made by, from what I can tell, anarchists. And there's a lot of voluntarist anarchists on here. And I really appreciate that. And so far, I'm enjoying it. It's like it has kind of all the things that you would want Facebook to have. But, you know, activist posts is on there. Conscious Resistance is on there. Eric Heiler is on there from Rebel with the Cause. I'm trying to get the Libertarian Union guys over to here. They'll come eventually. I'm sure that the first one will be Nick Picone. Jason Basler is on here. Just a bunch of people. Last American Vagabond. Press for Truth is on here. I think James Corbett is on here. Let's see. Yep. Oh, how am I not following James already? So yeah, so he's on here. I really like it. I'm live streaming there right now, and you can save your videos on there. And I'm sure there will be more features to come, but it's just exciting, a chance to get in at the ground floor in a new social media platform that I think is very promising. And I expect a lot of good things to come from it. And you can pledge your support for cryptocurrency. So BitChute went down, but you can set it up that you would support your creators that you enjoy with cryptocurrency. And from what I understand, it will charge you monthly, and like a monthly subscription service. So I really like MeWe right now. And getting a lot of interaction in my group, and there's chats and everything, and people posting, and that's really awesome. There's about 600 or 700 people, 642 people in the Liberty Weekly MeWe group right now, and people are talking in the chat, and I think that's wonderful. I've really been enjoying that so far. And actually, one of my new guests an upcoming episode. I interview a woman who escaped communist Romania in the early 80s and fled. She was 18 years old, and she fled to the United States. And her story is incredible, but she talks about growing up in a communist system. It was really socialist, but it was socialism. They were always trying to get to communism, and that was the end goal, but it would never work. But she has a lot of things to say about the current state of the United States, and I really enjoyed talking to her. She came here with toiletry. Well, she didn't come here with a toiletry. She didn't come here with only a toiletry bag, but she escaped Romania with a toiletry bag and some chump change, and she applied for asylum in Italy, and then she came to Florida, I believe, and she didn't have any money. She had to borrow $500 from someone, which she paid back, but she turned herself into a professional. I think she's in real estate and banking, and she started her own business. She only had a high school education, but she learned and started her own business, and that's what this country is made out of, and that's what we need more of in our culture, is people like her. But she had incredible things to say with her story and how she persevered and what it was like growing up in that country. But I met her on MeWe, in a MeWe group, and she's really great. So that episode is coming out probably on Wednesday, and my patrons and Subscribestar subscribers already have access to that at patreon.com/libertyweekly or subscribestar.com/libertyweekly. So go check that out. And I think for just the price of $3 a month, you can get early access to audio recordings, and $5 a month will get early access to the video recordings. And I have 3 shows in the can right now, just waiting, that people have had access for a week or two now, every time, you know, ever since I do it. So, on Me or Minds is another place that I've been posting, and I've been getting a lot more follows on Minds. I do like Minds, although it feels to me more like a Twitter kind of Facebook hybrid kind of thing. So I've been posting there. But I'm sure you've had enough of me talking so far, so I'm going to sign it off. But I wanted to be live streaming on float.app. Check me out there. I'd really encourage everyone to join me there. There's tons of anarchists, and it's totally wonderful. So I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed like a little look inside and kind of a Liberty Weekly elite that you've come to expect update from the Liberty Bigly podcast. Join me on these alternative platforms. I would exhort you to join me on these platforms. That's what we need to do. I don't even like Facebook anymore. Like my posts on the wall are from like 5 or 6 days ago. I don't know if that's because I'm dissenting. And like I said, I'm losing frickin' subscribers on YouTube, which is crazy to me because I'm putting out the best stuff right now, in my opinion, that I put out in quite some time. So I have I'm trying to get together some more great guests on the show. Monica Perez, maybe one, and just reaching out to a lot of people. So thanks everyone. Check out Subscribestar, Patreon. I'd really appreciate your support. Trying to get that new microphone, and you can tangibly see where your support is going and see how it improves the show. And thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. We'll catch you next time.